I guess what I wanted to start with, what was the first Michael Bay movie you saw, and what was the thing that stood out for you initially when you first watched it?
I think the first one I would have seen was Bad Boys, and that was his first feature film. And I would have seen that pretty close to when it came out. And just the kind of stylish quality of the action, every image in that film is just almost like a fashion ad or something like that. And that could be annoying, but for some reason with Michael Bay, at least with early Michael Bay, it just works really beautifully. Like everything about Bad Boys to me is perfect. You know, it's one of Will Smith's, probably Will Smith's best film. I don't know why he didn't win an Oscar for that. And it's just the action in it, the kind of ridiculousness of the script. But more than anything, Michael Bay's like absolute kind of command of the image is the thing that gives it its kind of just incredible quality. It's also quite a low budget film, which I find interesting. I mean, high budget by normal people's standards, but low budget by the standards of a big action film.
Yeah, that was the same thing. My first movie was his one from 2005 called The Island with Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson. And similar, that kind of, even though the picture frame is overtly saturated, it's still very visually striking and you're always moving. It's very frenetic. It's always keeps you on the edge and it keeps you invested, even though it can be a little over the top. But I think that's Michael Bay's charm. He knows he's over the top and he just commits. That's why I have a soft spot for one of his movies, except Pearl Harbor. I hate that with a passion.
Yeah, that's not too good. But yeah, I saw The Island twice at the cinema. There you go. Because I loved it. But I think what Bay does, which makes him a great action director, is he's really good at using contrast between fast and slow motion, smooth shots and handheld stuff. But he does it with a rhythm and with a kind of tempo that pulls you in and then pushes you out at the right kind of degrees. Like someone like John Woo, you know, another great, amazing action director. Great contrast between fast motion, slow motion, you know, long shots, fast cuts, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a similar thing. And another thing I've really appreciated about him is, although people complain and moan that his films are filled with special effects, if you go and watch the behind the scenes, a lot of the action is done practically, and in films like The Island, Bad Boys, and even 13 Hours, which I think is his best movie, the action is done practically, so you can feel the danger that the characters are in because you know what's happening is actually happening. It wasn't done in front of a green screen.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what's kind of cool about the first Bad Boys as well, is, yeah, hearing the story of it and hearing that they kind of run out of budget by the end of it, and they're just like making stuff up themselves, like, you know, what would look cool there? I will do. We'll try this thing. Yeah, it's pretty kind of cool. And I mean, I think it's something like Pain and Gain. Have you seen Pain and Gain?
Yeah, I have. It's kind of 50-50 for me. There are parts of it I like, and there are parts I find absolutely insufferable about it.
Yeah, it's a little bit kind of, yes, a little bit kind of self-consciously irritating. But I think a film like Pain and Gain, which is something that Michael Bay, it was a passion project of kind of Michael Bay's, and it's all about people's kind of narcissism and, you know, being obsessed with the image and what it means to privilege the image over anything else. So it's how people criticize Michael Bay's films. That's what Pain and Gain is about. You know, Miami kind of bodybuilding, kind of, you know, steroided up thing. And I think that's what's kind of interesting to me about that film. It's like Michael Bay looking at his career in this film and saying to people, I actually do know what I'm doing. I'm not just doing it because I'm an idiot. I know that my images are kind of like narcissistic and self-indulgent and all of those things, all of those criticisms, that there's a vanity to them. But isn't that what Hollywood is? You know, there's something really, and when you think he came out of doing music videos, and if you look at his kind of like list of music videos, he did a, you know, an insane number of music videos, like something like about 15 in 1990 alone. You know, that's crazy. Yeah. So anyway,
but yeah, just on, 'cause you and I have had a chat about this in the past. The concept of an auteur who's got a style of their own, I've argued in that Michael Bay is the definitive Hollywood auteur. You may not agree with what he puts on the screen, but it is undeniably his. And I kind of love him for that because he is so unapologetically Americana-filled, his films.
Yeah, he's definitely an auteur. And again, everything that his films does, everything that his films do, people might not kind of particularly like, but his films are kind of exactly what they're intending to be. So they work really well as coherent works. You know, an auteur is a kind of filmmaker who's an author slash artist, you know, whose films that represent that kind of coherent vision. There's no denying that, you know, Bay's films are, you know, coherent. They're integral whole works, you know, that don't kind of, that don't contain kind of, you know, things that he's wanting to do that he's not doing, or things that he thinks he's doing that he's not doing, or whatever. You see so many films, I see so many films that just seem really stupid because, you know, if the film seems to think it's like hyper intelligent, but it's actually like pretty stupid, or it seems to think it's a thrilling, but it's actually kind of dull, or whatever. Bay's films are generally what they kind of are claiming to be. A big criticism of mine, like my probably criticism of Bay, is that his films are too long. And like a great example of that is The Rock. You know, the first half hour or hour of The Rock is some of the best stuff you'll ever see in a film, like some of the most amazing action footage. And but then it goes, I don't know how long it goes, like 2.5 hours.
It's 138 minutes.
Yeah, there you go. And it just by the last half hour, you just kind of like, it completely loses its kind of steam. So I don't know, Bay with a little less power and having to like, you know, submit to like a kind of studio producer who's shortening his films, I think might be a little bit better.
Yeah, that's my thing. And just before we wrap up, I just want to quickly ask, have you seen Ambulance yet? And if you haven't, what are you hoping to see out of it?
I haven't seen it. Is this a remake of that old film called The Ambulance from
2005? It's the English language version of that Danish film.
Ah, and The Guilty. I saw The Guilty.
Yeah, this is the second English language Danish remake that Jake Gyllenhaal's done in the last 6 months. So should be interesting to see this.
Okay. No, I haven't seen it. It looks pretty dull to me. I don't think I'll see it. But enjoy it when you see it.
Yeah, well, so that's all we've got time for this morning. Ari, thanks so much for that chat. And I'll definitely tell you what I think of Ambulance.
Thanks. Cheers.
See you later.